It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We had a lovely day here, and it's raining, and Darby is still having a little impact. That's the tropical storm. We are on a watch or whatever, but be safe out there. The road's a little slippery, and we don't want to lose any listeners. So drive safely and yield to the other person, not temptation. Anyway, good Sunday morning. Wanted to share with you a number of things that going on. I see there's many issues in the paper today that relevant, and we talked about some FOIA and teaching, trying to share with you how to obtain public records from government agencies, and you see there's a FOIA. And that is so important in this climate, in this arena here called Hawaii. There are people with good intentions, but they found the roads are paved and well-paved to success in government. And generally, most of the times, that success is not for you or me. It's for them or their special interests. So we're going to be chatting about the Ethics Commission and the ethics, the city ethics, and as well as the state ethics. I don't know how anybody in their good conscience would, such as the governor or the mayor, could have such a massive responsibility and stand there and tell us that they're going to seek the best for us, and with their strategies and their plans and policies, they're going to deliver and protect our interests and make sure that we don't squander things and things don't get abused, and, you know, public interest. And I must tell you that there's something terribly wrong here, and that is, let's just start with the State Ethics Commission, for example. The last time that I checked, they haven't had a permanent entity, a person appointed. And then let's go to the city ethics. Now we have elections coming. We have massive projects and spending and activities and thousands of city employees and city council and all of that drawing from the public's trough, supposedly with public interest. But for some reason, the most important thing to guard against fraud, waste, abuse, malfeasance, and all of that, our mayor, and I will say this thing called the commission, and we'll talk about the composition of the commission, the Ethics Commission. I'm puzzled as to how anyone, for example, on the Ethics Commission in the city, we have people, prominent people, like Mike Lilly, former Attorney General. How can you sit on a board or a commission when you know it's dysfunctional, then you know it's not even functional? Where is your ethics? Where is your concern for the purpose? I mean, this isn't just anybody sitting on these. And Victoria Marks, retired judge. Stephen Silva, Stanford Ewan, Ricky May Amano, Aileen Samori. These are prominent people, and at least we should have seen some gathering or some chastisement of the mayor to say, Mr. Mayor, the city, we feel with our ethics and our concerns and our purpose here, we can't sit by idly and watch the city function and have a broken ethics commission, no executive director, no investigators. And this isn't just one thing. So I've invited Mr. Tim Gary, to talk with us, and as well as Natalie Iwasi, if she's inclined to call, and maybe her schedule won't allow it. But we're going to talk about this, and I have currently an ethics complaint before the Ethics Commission. But I must tell you, even I, having said that, I know that it sits in an office in a drawer and hadn't seen the light of day since I filed it. So I'm going to bring on, I think we have him now, Mr. Tim Gary. And Mr. Gary is also a candidate for mayor, and so I'm going to bring him back maybe next week if he's in and give him some full time for telling us what he thinks about being mayor and why he wants to be mayor and some of his views. And anyone out there that is inclined to come on or wish some time, give me a call, 782-6627, or an email at carol@carolcox.com. Good morning, Tim. How are you, Mr. Gary?
Good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm sitting here feeling like I'm a pitcher ready to wind up and throw some curves and strikes, but I'm going to let you hit it and knock it out of the park because you sound like you've been struggling just to get someone's ear down at the Ethics Commission.
And yes, I attended the Ethics Board meeting last Wednesday, 11:30, and I went down specifically to ask the board to if they would direct the Lori Wong, who is going to be the temporary executive director until they find a permanent replacement. I asked the board if they would or could direct her to open up that desk drawer with the complaints that were filed against the mayor and at least initiate and look at them, and because we have an election coming up on the 13th, and I think that you know, this should have been investigated already, but at least, you know, have the appearance of trying to find out what is going on. And I was basically told that it isn't going to happen because of due process, and if we filed a complaint, that it would have to be investigated, and then the complaint, the person that the complaint was filed against would have to have time to respond. So I was basically told that it's not going to happen. It probably won't even happen by November with the general election. And one of the board members, Arlene, she suggested to me that I take my complaint to the media and have them do what the commission is supposed to do. It's a travesty. The largest public project going on in Hawaii history, and we have nobody overseeing any complaints. Mm-hmm. If you look at the past with mainland big city projects, there's almost always somebody doing something wrong. And in fact, a few mayors have gone to jail over violations of what they committed. So I'm not saying anybody is committing violations, but at least we should have the mechanism in place to where if somebody does file a complaint, they can be investigated and looked at. Right mm-hmm. now, I don't even know why we have a board, because they're a board overseeing nobody. And it's just a travesty. I've gone through the steps. I approached the state attorney general, asked them if they could step in and investigate, and they referred me back to the board saying it was their responsibility to operate efficiently an ethics commission. And they are woefully inept. And through their actions of the last 7-8 months, they have basically paralyzed any form of ethics oversight.
Now, you have a complaint before the Ethics Commission, and can we ask what, and I also have one, and again, for those listeners who are just listening, tuning in. This is the Carol Cox Show, and I have Mr. Tim Gary. Mr. Gary is also a candidate for mayor of Honolulu, but we're sharing right now a subject on the Ethics Commission and his experience. Now, I filed an Ethics Commission complaint against Mayor Caldwell for using what I believe to be a violation, using city property to do campaign activity. And unfortunately, that is in the, basically, it's, should I describe it as the trash can, because it's going in nowhere, no timing. I haven't received a response other than they acknowledge receiving my complaint. But then there is no protocol or in place, or the commission has left it void. Now, what about your complaint? And again, for those that just joined us, Tim, what is the status of your complaint? And if you could go back to that point where they suggest you go to the media, and what will the media do that the media has no control or no fiduciary responsibility?
Well, other than being the fourth branch of our government, and one of their responsibilities, the media, is to oversee the politicians without partiality. And we might have a problem here in Hawaii, because the day of Mayor Caldwell, when he announced that he was going to run for re-election, the media was there. The newspaper, Civil Beat, all three television stations, and in the moments up before Caldwell and the employees came out of Honolulu Alley, I was standing with the media, and the scuttlebutt was a couple of the reporters looked at me and said, "I think this might be illegal." And then Mayor Caldwell had his little news conference with question and answers, and not one of them even brought it up. So it seems to me like maybe they're not interested, or somebody, you know, told them that, that wasn't a violation, just take our word for it. But that's not the way journalism is supposed to be instituted.
Right. Yeah. I guess there's some conflict, or I it's confusion, I'll describe it. I'm looking at the paper today in the Star Advertiser. It says, "Keep Caldwell a city at city helm, city's helm." I mean, what does it take? If you're going to be an advocate for someone, and then one day you're telling us what he's done wrong, are you really telling us everything and then turn around and tell us to keep him? I'm puzzled. And now, at some point, going back to the commission telling you to go to the media, and then the media was what, going to do a story, and then they would see it and go, "Oh, my God, did you see the story? We better do something as commissioners." What's the logic?
It doesn't. I felt disillusioned when she told me that, because I was under the assumption that was their job, mm-hmm. and I chastised them, because I said, "Why didn't you have the foresight to see a problem in the making? If you lost your investigator and you were down to just the executive director, and you were giving him problems and throwing hurdles up in front of him to do his job, couldn't you foresee that there might be a time in the future when you don't have anybody in the office? We have a mayor, when he leaves town, the deputy mayor or the operating manager steps in and assumes the responsibilities. We have a police chief. If he was not there, the deputy police chief falls in and takes, and every other form of operations at the city, they don't have just one guy." So the appearance of, I'm not a big conspiracy fan, but the appearance of a lack of foresight by the board, which three of the members were appointed by Caldwell, it just leaves the door open for people to question and have suspicion.
Well, I note the mayor was initially and openly actively advocating for the police chief. You know, he needs to come clean, and I'm thinking, well, if you the mayor surely see that that's a problem in your opinion, the mayor, but he saw no problem with leaving the Chuck Tato's position vacant.
Yeah, it's a contradiction.
It's a gross contradiction, and I'm sitting here thinking, this is just what I believe it to be, corruption. And denying, when they say due process, they explain to you that you must observe the rules of due process or what have you. But what about your due process?
Well, that is really troubling me. And in fact, after I went to the state attorney general's office to see if they could step in and oversee the ethics commission of the city and county, and they sent me a letter back referring me to the board, the commission board, that was, and saying that was their responsibility. And then I attended a meeting with the commission, and I told them that I went to the attorney general, and they referred me back to them. So after that, I called the U.S. attorney and explained the situation to them, and they referred me to the FBI and explained to me that I needed to file a written complaint with the FBI, and they would receive that complaint, but they would not comment after they received it of whether they would investigate or not investigate.
Mm-hmm. So with the absence of Chuck Tato, for example, when are they giving us any indication or suggesting when they plan to fill that with the permanent? Because if they do it temporarily, does that party have much to say or do or oversight? Or how much do you get involved in the job when you know you're temporary?
Yeah, I think it's just a way of putting a body in the chair and saying that we're trying to move forward with the process, even though we're not really serious about it. Mm-hmm. They did put out notice, I believe they said, in one publication, looking for a new executive director and a new full-time investigator. But I believe they said they had received only two applicants or potential applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would have to vet them and investigate them, and they only meet once a month. And by the time that process is completed, we're probably looking after November. So basically, we've gone a whole year without an operating ethics commission.
Do you believe that with this kind of behavior, we know that it's important to have this oversight and the ethics commission? We know that our so-called forefathers already established that. But how is it that the mayor can do this, take these actions, or appoint the people, and they sit back on their thumbs and then dismiss Chuck Tato? But prior to that, they set up rules about media that he couldn't talk, and then he had to record everything in 6 seconds. And that sounds like I'm defending Chuck Tato, but if you've listened to my show in the past, you know personal experience. Chuck Tato was not ethical in his position, in his capacity. And give you an example, he covered for Charles DeJoux, for example. DeJoux went to Japan, took his son there. I filed a complaint. Tato covered that up and allowed DeJoux to go back and pay after the fact. And this kind of stuff. But Rod Tam goes and buy a sandwich and a pickle for one of his constituents or two of them or whatever, and he goes and submit his name to the jailhouse. And Nestor Garcia has numerous violations and didn't submit his name to the jailer, didn't submit Cachola's name. So it's not that I'm crying and soaking my hanky because of Tato is absent. I think it was a good move, a strong move to get rid of him, but also it was bad to now just leave it vacant and then claim we have city business as usual. You can't have it.
No, and with the one-party rule and the kind of closed circle that we have in Hawaii, I think the only way out of this is to have someone from the federal government come in and look at the whole operation. It seems to me that there's a lot of cover for everybody. I know personally that there's complaints been filed against city council members,
mm-hmm.
and that also leads to the city council is supposed to be a check and balance of the mayor, correct?
Right.
And if the mayor has complaints against them, and the city council has complaints against them, and they've all collectively, effectively shut down anybody that is going to go in and oversee them and look into any complaints, then they're basically trying to protect themselves, it seems to me.
And no one has asked, in the media, no one, and I mean no one, has asked, well, gee, Kurt, if you're really pushing, and we're all saying that you see him on various TV shows, these quick little snippets about the chief of police and his wife, well, who's going to call for Caldwell stepping down? I mean, this is serious business. I mean, if this was a matter at HPD and they had no investigators, we would be terribly upset about that, and rightfully so. But
yeah, I agree.
You understand? So when you draw a parallel, it's like, well, gee, is this the supreme right? What is this we're dealing with? And hiring their friends appointing various people, and they sit on their thumbs. But the biggest thing, as you touched on, in my opinion, my observation is that the city council is complicit in this, too, for several reasons. As you pointed out, one, that they have complaints against them. And I think there's one, Keone Dudley, for example, who's running for a position out in Ever Beachside. He has filed a complaint. I don't know what the status are, but imagine the city council being unethical or ethical and, say, demanding that let's process these complaints. And in fact, to do that, we need to find someone, recruit someone, and we will get the funding, right?
Correct.
But apparently, that's not fitting the need here. The need.
Well, I personally have called every city council person on the council and to specifically discuss this point. And the only one that even returned my call was Trevor Olazara's office.
Mm-hmm.
His chief of staff called me, and I basically said I had great concerns because of the lack of the oversight of the city council in this subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened to me, and I expressed all the dangers of not having an ethics commission and somebody overlooking everybody, and said that I was dismayed by the lack of responsibility with the city council. And he listened to me and then said thank you and hung up. And so I have still not heard back from Ernie Martin or any of the other council members in regards to this. There was a commission member that was nominated to go onto the board. There's seven members. Currently, there's only six. I believe that was Caldwell had nominated Peter. I forgot his last name.
Adler
to fill the position of the vacant position. And the city council has not even approved, or I don't know if they've even had a hearing on approving him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is approved, that will make four of the seven board members Caldwell appointees. And three of those appointees have donated money to Caldwell's campaigns in the past. And I was advised by one friend who's a retired lawyer that if you are a retired judge, you are not allowed, or if you are a judge, you're not allowed to donate to campaign. And I've asked for the three sitting board members, if a complaint comes up in front of them regarding Caldwell, that they would need to recuse themselves from any hearing because of their donations in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the case without the seventh member being appointed, the board would only have a quorum of three members, and by their rules, they need four to proceed with any business.
Right.
So that's another hurdle. If the three members, commission members, recuse themselves from any hearing regarding Mayor Caldwell, without the new appointee, there would only be members, and they couldn't even conduct business.
Right. And you hold on for a second. We got a caller. It might be Mr. Uwasi. Hold one second. Caller, thank you for calling and holding. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Darryl, real.
Yes. How are you doing?
I just want to let you know that the latter part of 2015, I applied for the investigative position with the City Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I had interviewed with Chuck Cotto, and when asked the question about if I was to be assigned to investigate important people, how would I conduct it? I said I would find out the truth in any situation, and I am the most ethical person you could ever find. I don't think he liked that answer.
And he didn't hire you.
He didn't hire me. And you know my background and my reputation.
Right. But it was, the sticking point was, why would they even ask you about important people if it was violation of city rules or ethics? That's all. You were the investigator, right?
Exactly. I mean, I would follow the case wherever it went to, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the target, regardless of the type of investigation, because that's who I am.
Wow.
I just wanted to pass that on to you.
So you, again, I think I cut you off a bit, Thomas Friel, but you actually interviewed for the position, and this is during the time vacancy. Was Letha Dakaris there, or was it still up and open for just
yes,
recruitment?
They were trying to, they were looking at this 89-day hire and looking to bring on a full-time investigator. The latter part of 2015, probably around September.
Mm-hmm. And what did he do after you submitted that application and had that interview? You had the actual interview after you applied, and obviously you were qualified, or he wouldn't be having a follow-up oral interview, right?
Correct. I think within 2 days I received a letter saying that I was not selected.
And do you know who was selected?
No, I never did follow up. I just turned my back on that and moved forward.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thomas Friel, thank you. All right. Tim?
Yes?
You have any comment?
No, it just kind of shows that, you know, this has been going on for a long time. It isn't something that's just jumped up in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's and like I said, I don't have any evidence of a conspiracy. I don't think that the board members met with Caldwell or any of his representatives, and they laid out a strategy. It's just more I think, a mindset of our one-party rule in Hawaii here, with the lack of media oversight. Mm-hmm. This has been brought up with the media. There was a little blurb, and then there was really no investigation into, you know, the root cause of all this.
Well, you know, and this is me speaking. I believe that it is a conspiracy, and I believe all parties involved clearly are negligent and knowingly, because, you see, as commissioners, as I pointed out earlier, these are not just there's one gentleman is the food carer or the caretaker of the food storage or something. His name is I got it here, Silva.
Yeah.
He might be the one that I would lend that kind of explanation to, but we're talking about Mike Lilly, Victoria Marks, you know, Stanford Ewan, then we have Ricky May Amano. These are people that have invested many years in public service, and they know, what it takes. And I mean, some may think I'm being foul-mouthed about them, but I'm just calling it what it is. It's they know. They have the knowledge. And I believe that it is a conspiracy by simply not doing. You don't always have to do an overt act, in my opinion. Sometimes they don't arrive to a criminal charges, but you can, by just sitting on your thumbs, you create the climate.
Yeah, and also, you know, the angle I'm looking at now is they're not, as a, my right as a citizen is to, if I see something that I think might appear to be illegal or immoral, that the process is for me to bring the complaint to the proper agency or commission, and then for them to not actually perform their job, it's a denial of my civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a denial of everybody that lives on Oahu's civil rights, because they're not doing their duty. And like you said, if they're not doing their job, then they need to be held accountable.
Right. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carol. It's Natalie. You
yes. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have Mr. Tim Gary on the other line. Natalie Iwasa is calling. Good morning, and thank you again for calling. We're trying to hash out some of this ethics issues, as you probably can hear. You have anything to share with us about the? I noticed you wrote an article, editorial, in May of this year regarding the Ethics Commission and the status.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to mention a couple of things. You know, I've raised concerns with the Ethics Commissions now for several meetings that they've held, and it's really disappointing in the lack of action that we've been seeing with the commission. But I wanted to remind you and others that the City Council had introduced a resolution to audit the Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, interestingly, the committee that was supposed to hear that canceled their meeting, and the resolution has not come up yet for a hearing. So I don't know if people can contact Trevor Ozawa's office and ask him, or no, actually it was Ron Minor, because he's the chair of the Ethics Executive Committee, to hold a hearing for that. I think that's really important.
Did he give any reason why he put it off?
One of the reasons was that Victoria Marks was going to be not available or not on island at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if there was anything else, but that was a big part of it, I think.
So Ron Minor was the person, the committee chairperson of the ethics, and at that time, and he still is.
No, actually, at the time that resolution was introduced, Trevor Ozawa was the chair of that committee.
Okay.
And then with the reorganization, Ron Minor was put in that position.
Okay, so maybe we need to ask Trevor, why did he not resubmit and then ask Ron, when is he going to submit it?
Yeah, I think that would be a good follow-up.
Wow, that's a jewel. Thank you. It's difficult fumbling through the dark trying to sort this out.
Right. The other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, the Charter Commission has been meeting for over a year now, and I think it was the League of Women Voters or else Common Cause Hawaii, one of the two, that had introduced a proposal that would change the way the members of the Ethics Commission were being appointed. As I understand it, currently the mayor makes all the appointees, and we've seen what can happen with that. And so what they had proposed was having different organizations and agencies doing the appointments. For example, there would have been one from, I believe, the prosecuting attorney's office and different organizations in the community that would get together and make recommendations and then appoint the commission. And the Charter Commission decided they didn't want to do that. They just let that proposal die.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people out there who are trying to make changes, but it seems to be very difficult.
What was the, going back a bit, what was the number of the resolution, or do you remember, or that was to... Trevor Ozawa was to do the audit. Is there
You know, offhand, I don't know, but I can certainly send that to you.
Oh, please do, and I'm sure many other. So I guess one of the solutions would be to just ask the public to get involved and call and ask Trevor and also Mr. Menor. He's my city council rep, so I think I definitely will be giving him a call. I wasn't aware of that at all. But it just went silent because the explanation is Sumori, Marks, Miss Marks, Victoria Marks was going on a vacation, or going away, and would be returning later. So, well, they should have just resubmitted it.
Exactly. Well, you know, everybody can submit written testimony. They don't have to be there in person.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel it should have gone forward. Anyway, here's the resolution. It's 16-164, requesting the city auditor to perform a comprehensive management and performance audit of the Honolulu Ethics Commission.
Reso 16, that's this year?
16-164.
164, okay. You can go to honolulu.gov and go to resolutions if you're interested, folks, in pulling that up if you have internet. Anything else? Wow, you're just really enlightening.
Well, I've been concerned with the Ethics Commission for a while now, so I've followed it quite closely. And I think you brought up some good points with respect to the lack of proactiveness, and Tim also, regarding the commission. Because when the on-staff legal counsel, that was Lori Wong, left, that was April 1st. And here we are, you know, almost toward the end of July, and don't have that position filled yet. So I have been looking, doing a Google search for help wanted for that commission, and nothing has come up. Now, they said that they put something in the newspaper, but, you know, there's social media, there's press releases, they could put something on their website, and they haven't done that. So, again, I think they're falling down in their duties with
mm-hmm.
respect to what they're supposed to be doing for the public.
And they know better. I mean, we're not dealing with just people that got off the bus from Mississippi and decided, oh, city job. These folk are professional law people, have backgrounds of law and public service, and they know the importance, and they should understand how important it is to have in place the measures of ethics and punishing those that would dare violate it, public trust.
Right.
I don't know where to start, but Tim, you go ahead. You there? I'm having caller. Thank you. Go ahead with your comments and questions. I'm having one problem here with. Okay. Tim, if you're listening, give us a call back, and I think we're having a problem with the connections here. Go ahead, Natalie. I have one other caller. Go ahead.
Well, that was really all I wanted to add because it seemed like some of the pieces were missing. The other thing, actually, with respect to the call from Thomas Frill, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell why one person is chosen over the other, and I didn't hear the reason that I was listening on the internet, and it kind of glitched out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the person that was hired was William Schanefeld, and he is no longer there. I spoke to him once regarding a case that he was investigating, and I felt that he was doing a good job. But again, it's disappointing that we had somebody who was qualified, and you know, because of all the activity and pressure being put on various side front or fronts, left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would hope that this Thomas Frill would apply again. He might get the position.
Right. But, yeah, that would be really good. I would stand up and speak for him, support his. But there are so many things that I'm aware of that was going on during that time that lent itself, that Toto and the, I think it's, I'll describe it like this. It's a cesspool of unethical behavior, people that have our trust. And with Toto, what's really striking is that he was consumer. Also, you know, consumer affairs, that may not be the appropriate term for it, but he had that office. So he knows it should be engraved and ingrained in him that we need in place monitors and policemen of ethics and what have you. And something went south in that office. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'll reach out to you again. If you have any more, please don't hesitate to give me a call back.
Okay, you're welcome, Carol.
Thank you. Natalie Owasa. Owasa. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes.
I can't turn your sound. I can't hear you, but I will continue.
Okay.
You couldn't have had a finer person on than Owasa. She is outstanding, excellent, comprehensive, authentic, in every conceivable way. Follow up with her, please, please. In terms of the Ethics Commission, the auditors did an excellent job on paratransit, an excellent job on the auditing of HART. And they could, I believe in their leaders in terms of doing an audit, and so interested in Manure, Monahan, or Ozama, executive committee chair members or leaders who can't or haven't allowed this to come up for a bill. Make a resolution, bill number, public meeting one, number two, number three for the full council. And this is the process that could be followed if they ever put this up. My own experiences were with Nestor Garcia in terms of conflict of interest. Only 50 violations, found guilty, fined $8,500. Okay, now, because he paid the fine and he settled out of court or out of commission or out of council, he's back on the council. He was chairman of the whole council.
Hold on.
He was chairman of the budget committee, and he voted for the rail. He voted for the general obligation bond. I have everything here, but I gave it to lawyers, and I'm not able right now to find a copy. But
okay.
I have everything verifiable in print.
All right. Well, thank you. You can't hear me, you say, but I'm going to have to get back to here to Tim. I think he's still on.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Thank you. And we'll be on the next hour. Call back. Thank you so much. Boy, we're having a heck of a time with this line. Anyway, we're going to probably, Tim, if you can hear me, I'm stuck here with the... Okay, Tim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Man, we got a system here, a Symmetrix. Never heard of it, but it's a lot of tricks. But real quick, go ahead, and we got about 2 minutes. And as I said earlier, I want to have you back, give you an hour. You are a candidate for mayor, and you pick the time, the day. Next Sunday, if you're interested, you're more than welcome. I know we want to separate the two and ensure that, but are you up to that?
Yeah, it sounds great, Carol.
Okay, but go ahead real quick in closing.
I'd just like to say a big mahalo to Natalie, because she's got her facts together, and she is passionate about ethics. And I could not find a more competent person to actually be on that board.
I think she should be on the commission.
She's got the best interests of the public,
mm-hmm.
and she's very intelligent.
Right.
And I thank God for her, because, like at the last meeting, it was her and me were the only ones from the public there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. I didn't see any media other than one photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for something that is so important, like I said, if we had a two-party government in Oahu, then we would have a checks and balance.
Yeah, but we have just one big party.
We have one party.
No, I mean not one party. They're having one big party. They seem on our dollar, on our dime.
So with the lack of a check and balance and a two-party system, then it is up to the responsibility of our press to keep an eye on what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if the press isn't up to the task, then it's a free-for-all of
right.
whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tim. And, again, that hour is available to you and or whatever you need, and we'll talk in the next Sunday if you'd like to. And I appreciate you calling in. And what district do you live in right now?
I live in Aleva Heights.
Okay.
So I'm in District 10.
Okay, so I was just thinking if Ozawa or Menor was, let's write him a letter. I will definitely be writing him a letter asking.
I call their office every week, and they never return the call.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll see if we can get them to get that in motion.
Okay, Carol.
Aloha.
You have a great day. Thanks for your passion.
No, thank you. All righty. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
And, folks, there are other folks that are... that are running for office. And real quickly, there's a Kurt Baker. There's a Zachary Bird, B-U-R-D. Kurt Caldwell, Carvalho, Ernest Carvalho, Carlisle, Peter Carlisle, Charles DeJoux. He runs for everything, if you notice that. I mean, I remember seeing him over in Africa there at a campfire. They were about to roast some folks and a bunch of cannibals, and he wanted to be first, so... You know, that's Charles DeJoux. He's always, I don't know if, I'm surprised I hadn't seen him put it in for dog catcher. But, just go away. It's bring something. And then I see him out hanging out with Linda Lingle. That was reassuring. But Lawrence Friedman, Tim Garrett, who was just on, Mr. Hochuli, Ronald Hochuli, Lillian Hong, and Mike Powers. Anyway. We'll be back in the next hour, and thank you for listening. We'll have Mr. Ron Hochuli on. Hochuli, here shortly.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here. Though it's raining, it's still a beautiful place, and thank you so very much. Taken up from the last hour, talking about the Ethics Commission. Now, if you're inclined to contact City Councilman Ron Manure, you can reach him at R, as in Robert, M-E-N-O-R, at Honolulu.gov, and his phone number is 768-5009, and ask him if he would be so kind to take up the flag and run it up the hill on Resolution 16-164 regarding the Ethics Commission and audit. And we will, in fact, give you on carolcox.com at the website, and we'll post that resolution up. We'll get a copy of it, save you from having a hunt and peck. And also, maybe you want to contact Trevor Ozawa. I mean, he's a new kid on the block, and, you know, we always think that putting a new kid on the block, and he's going to come in there and knock their blocks off, because he's not going to be gravitating to the underhanded behavior, that kind of stuff. He's going to go straight for the punch, the jab, and a knockout, right? So I think he still has it in him. If not, shame on him. But T-O-Z-A-W-A at Honolulu.gov at 808-768-5004. Let's ask Manure and ask Ozawa if they still have the punch. Or are they just there to strike soft blows and see? We the people need some protection from the people. And there is this big club of swingers here that seem to, 1 month they're in this organization of this commission and that commission, next year they're in another, and Ricky Mayamano is up on the hill at Mount Akea, and she's down in the trough on ethics. So I don't really know, and that's not a strike on her. But at some point, we expect, when you say a judge, you don't think about things being contaminated with questionable behavior. You just know. And when you have a collection of judges, I think we have that right to expect more. Just the term judgeship, you know, I'm sorry. If they think that this is offensive, then I'll run out back and hit my head against the outhouse. But right now, I think it's really sad that the commission, the City Ethics Commission, would lend themselves to such a climate and allow such a climate to develop, regardless whether they take it personal, offensive, I'm being disrespectful. But there are certain things, when you say judge, then when you have more than three on the same bus, you believe there's justice and righteousness and all of that. Can't stray across the line, have a head-on collision, run down the cliff or whatever. So again, I told you I would have Mr. Ho Chuli. I'm going to see if I'm pronouncing that name right. He'll correct me, and it's Ronald. And he is also running for city for mayor of Honolulu. And unfortunately, Tim Gary has been held in the dark, and I wasn't aware of the whole Ron's bid for the chair either. So I'm going to make available this show to let them talk to you and any other city council person or city person. So all of that said, Ron, if you're there, can you try calling me at the 524-1080? I'm having a problem with this line. It's stuck. 524-1080, if you could. Ron, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I finally got this monster to cooperate. So could you introduce yourself? And by the way, I've just chopped your name up so bad that I'm going to go back to school and learn my alphabets.
It's a difficult thing. Can you hear me okay?
I'm hearing you great.
Okay. My name is Ron Hoakley.
Hoakley, okay.
Now, but when I was a teacher at St. Louis, the student said, "Oh, you're Hoakley, but you have three Chinese names." And it's Ho, H-O, Chu, C-H-U, and Li, L-I, Ho Chu Li. But we pronounce it Hoakley.
Okay, all righty. Well, then I'm Carol Cox. That's with an X.
I know that. Yeah.
So anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, or a lot about yourself, and why you want to take on this thing, and you're going to balance the budget and take care of the rail and do all of that.
Well, you know, I've lived in Hawaii since 1968. I came over here as a monk in a Catholic religious order that owned St. Louis School and Chaminade. So I came here to teach, and I was, you know, in religious life.
Mm-hmm.
I had the vows of poverty, celibacy, and obedience. And after a while, after 8 years, I actually left the religious life and went forward. I continued to teach at St. Louis, where I was a vice principal, and then at the age of 40, I joined Merrill Lynch, which is a financial advisory firm, and spent 25 years there at Merrill Lynch. The last 15 years as the senior vice president of Merrill Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
So a fairly good background in finance. I left during that time. I was managing some offices on the Big Island and was very involved with the Kauai High Transitional Shelter for homeless. I was on their board. And when we had a need for somebody to take over as director of that homeless shelter, I actually left Merrill Lynch and took over the homeless shelter for some time. I left Merrill Lynch on a Friday and I took over the shelter on a Monday. And got to know, you know, the whole background of homelessness and immersed myself in working with people who were on the fringe of society. We would go out to the coffee farms and the beaches and bring people in. It was primarily for women and their children. But if a man was proven father of some of the children, he'd be welcome in the shelter as well. Mm-hmm. We helped them get on their feet and move out after they could stay there up to 18 months. So I had background with both the wealthy and really those people on the fringe. I taught at St. Louis School, as I said, which were college-bound students, very motivated. When I retired from Merrill Lynch, I did a number of volunteer jobs. One of those jobs was working with the National Guard Youth Challenge Academy with youth who were at risk, who had dropped out of school pretty much. And my volunteer work again led to me being a full-time deputy director, actually running the everyday operations of the program.
Was this at Ever Beachside?
Yeah, it is.
Barbara's Point. Okay, Youth Challenge.
It is.
Okay.
Kalaeloa, actually.
Right, okay.
And so I did that for about a year, and then they found somebody again to take over that position. But I still stayed on as a director. And we're right now working with Lili Okalani Trust at Kamehameha School to help the students make a transition. They stay in that program, this program at the National Guard Youth Challenge Academy, for 6 months. They live in a very disciplined way. But we're now helping and working with the union to transition them from, okay, they got their act together, they get a GED, but then we help them find jobs and get stabilized. We also work with the military to get them into the military and if that's what they want to do. But we're working a lot with unions right now, and as I say, Lilly Okalani Trust and Mammoth Schools is helping fund this transitional program. So, you know, that's a background. You know, I think I'm really qualified for mayor, to be a mayor. It's a very difficult job, I am sure.
Mm-hmm.
But my finance background, the three leading contenders in the career politicians are all attorneys. I'm not an attorney. My background is primarily working with in finance and with people. Even those years as a Catholic monk, I think I learned a lot about human beings. I had to learn how to listen, and I developed some compassion just in being in that life.
Now, being mayor, there's many we know, and we'll talk about the rail if you have some
sure.
insight and all. But many other things, our beaches, their soil from fecal matter, from poor infrastructure of sewage treatment plants and inadequate pumps and all of that, and worker abuse, worker fraud. You there?
Yes.
I'm getting some clicking. And anyway. How do you stand on that, and what are your views and visions of that? There are some problems with that and within those departments. How would you handle that, addressing sewage? Do you have any thoughts or giving?
Okay, that's a huge problem. You know, on my website I talk a little bit more in detail about it, but
mm-hmm.
the city has lost its judgment against the federal government, in which the city is obliged to reconstitute our sewage treatment process.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a $5.2 billion lawsuit, and we're obligated to improve our sewage. But I have seen no action towards that,
mm-hmm.
and no plan of where this money is going to come from. This $5.2 billion judgment against us is off the books. There's no funding for it right now, and there's no action that I can see or plan going forward. So, I'm very well aware of that. But, the runoffs of things are also, into our coastal system, are also caused by our development. We don't think about the land too much. We pave over areas that used to collect water and go in down into our drinking system.
Mm-hmm.
But now that goes off into the beaches and the into the the coastline.
Right.
And that's hurting us in the long term. And we've got to think about that a little bit. Not a little bit. We need to think about that more. It's a general idea that we have not focused on the people who live and work here. That's a real issue of mine. I think we focus on other agendas that politicians have that are controlled by special interests.
Mm-hmm.
That's my observation. And rail... the lack of affordable housing and really an infrastructure, caring about people in different areas, out in Waianae and so forth. I think that's because the special interests are affecting the priorities of the city elected officials.
When you say special interests, can you give a little more detail of the
sure.
special
in,
and how
sure.
it's influencing this matter?
Well, let me, let me just talk about rail
okay.
as a really good example of what I'm talking about. We're building rail, and the rail project, as conceived and pushed forward by politicians, does not reduce current traffic congestion. In fact, the environmental impact statement that was written by the proponents, those people pushing to have rail done,
states that when rail is completed, traffic congestion will be 21% worse than it is today. So why are we building rail? Why aren't we doing something that will reduce traffic congestion for people like me and others who live out in the West Side? I live in Ever Beach. So you say, well, why then are we building rail if it's not to reduce traffic congestion? Rail has been a boon for elected politicians. They receive thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from special interest contractors, architects, suppliers, mm-hmm. consultants. I mean, you look at the number of consultants we have on this project. So actually, the higher the cost, the better the experience it is for politicians' campaign funds.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling. It was the issue that really got me to run for mayor. I was very happy, you know, in my life. I'm older. You know, I'm 72 years old. I've had a full life. I've lived here in Hawaii 50 years. And I love Hawaii. And I just couldn't stand by any longer waiting for somebody to run who would be an alternative to these career politicians whom I believe are hurting Hawaii. We're in the problem we have today because of the failed decisions and priorities that these career politicians have put for Hawaii.
What would be some of the things you would do to combat this, what you've just described? What would you do? Ideas, just share with us. You don't have to go into great
detail. I would work for campaign reform, mm-hmm. For certain. I don't think it's ethical to receive money from outside sources, especially if you're an elected official. And I would limit the amount that a politician could receive or a candidate could receive when they're running for office.
Now you're running for mayor now, but are you suggesting that this is some power within the mayorship? Or
I don't think it is.
Okay.
There are some laws, federal laws, that allow people to, what they say, has been described in Honolulu papers, Civil Beat, as dark money. That's a 501c4,
mm-hmm.
and people to have a right to express their opinions by donating whatever they want to into these 501c4s. That's what got Toto eliminated. He started investigating the current mayor's campaign when he accepted $460,000 for his inauguration party,
mm-hmm.
and he they found out that there's nothing wrong with it, but it certainly seemed wrong. You know, it appeared wrong. All this money being given by special interests, these same people I talked about, the consultants, suppliers, contractors. So while it's not technically wrong, I guess it's ethically wrong. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, people don't give you this money because they like you. They give you this money for access and special consideration. And it shows in how we make decisions. I mean, the rail is a decision that does not help the people who live and work here at all.
Right.
So I would attempt to throw any support that I can on campaign reform. But you're absolutely right, Carol. Probably I don't have the ability to make that change.
But you could advocate that and use
your
capacity.
I would advocate strongly and mm-hmm. ask people to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason that I limited my campaign to only accepting $100 as max from anybody. Even though in my former position as a senior vice president with Merrill Lynch, I managed over $1 billion. I had a lot of very wealthy clients who have offered much more than $100 for my campaign, and I refused that money.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted $100 from different people and their wives, and that's it. So so that would be one thing I would do. I'd also make very strong the Ethics Commission,
okay,
independent of the mayor's office. I thought that was really perception. If it wasn't truly being forced out, the perception was that Toto was forced out, and just by the controls that were exerted on him.
Now, the mayor gets to a point, as you may have listened to the earlier part, the mayor gets to a point, would you relinquish that or advocate to have that changed to the Charter Commission, the authority to appoint commissioners? And then if you were to appoint, what would you be looking for in an appointee? And then if you could speak to what would you do to fix the Ethics Commission? Would it be one of your first things? Because how can we function if we don't have ethics?
I don't know. Certainly it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go in there and I'd try to understand a little bit more. I would think, that the justice, that mayor's appointees, the current mayor's appointees, are three judges.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect, the background of judges. I also know Mike Lilly a little bit, and he feels very strongly that these people are very ethical. But it just seems, I just don't understand how they could have done some of the policies that they did on Toto. I mean, making him account for every 6 minutes of his day, and suspending him for a month over human resources issue. That just didn't seem worthy of being suspended. And then appointing that person who criticized him to be the head of the Ethics Commission. Mm-hmm. I'd want to understand that better.
Right.
But I think that the Ethics Commission has to be independent of the mayor's office and the city council's office. I can't tell you I have an absolute solution for that.
Right.
But I would, you would think that judges would be very independent and a source of being on that commission. I don't know, Carol,
mm-hmm.
how to fix that deficit.
No.
I would seek first to understand, something.
Mm-hmm. Looking at homelessness and the issue of workplace violence and discrimination against lesbian, gays, and transgender, and what do you have in mind if you were to become mayor? How would you handle that, and can you suggest what your policies would be and how you would approach it?
I have it pretty thoroughly discussed on my website, just so you know.
Give us your website. You reference, before we...
Yeah, and so it's a little... It'll be clear, and people then can make comments and question me, and I will respond to every comment. But that's www.hochuli4honolulu.com.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you where I would start with homelessness. The same place we did it on the Big Island. We start with, I'd ask the city to coordinate a database of registering all of the homeless and understanding them first. So, we would get a centralized database from the different community organizations, nonprofits, city workers, social service, and identify each one by name, not just a statistic. Many of them are aunties, uncles, other residents of Hawaii. So I think in finding out more about them, we might even find some solutions, people who could support them. One of the things that would also help me find out how many really are transplants from the mainland, temporary transplants, or just coming over for our weather. I was at a McDonald's the other day introducing myself to different constituents, trying to get my name known. And I was talking to a policeman who's been in about 8 years. And just anecdotally, he was saying that that's one of his jobs, a more unpleasant job, but something he has to do all the time. And he believes in his 8 years, he's seen a very a higher number of people coming from the mainland that are not really from Hawaii, didn't go into homelessness from here. So, that would be something I'd really work on. You know, and there's probably a lot of information already out there, but just make sure that the city was collecting that information and everybody who's working with the homeless would have that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that vein, I've had the occasion to speak to a number of parolees that were from the mainland, and I learned from them that the reason they come here, not just for the weather, but they don't get, like in California, they knock, the doors knock at 6 in the morning or midnight and what have you, and they, the judicial system here is a little more lenient and not as aggressive. And so many of them come here, and I found that to be really interesting.
That is interesting. You know, there's another thing. I really care about people, just in general, just in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have you have to think of the children here and the families who are trying to use the public facilities. I would put it as a priority, making sure that homeless people are not living outside of a permanent shelter.
I see.
So if I realize that people have a choice, and many and some of the homeless choose a lifestyle that puts them outside of the rules and regulations of a shelter. But at some point, when the health and safety of the whole, all the residents of Hawaii are being affected, I think they don't have a choice. Just like I don't have a choice to drive drunk. I don't have a choice to carry arms, into schools or, you know, just, there are restrictions that I think for the health and safety of all of us we need to make. And it's got to be their health, the individuals who are homeless oftentimes live very in dirt and squalor. They don't have access to public restrooms. I was down at Kaka'ako District Park there are no restrooms open down there. I couldn't use the bathroom. I was there taking some photographs of for my campaign, and I couldn't use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no bathrooms, and yet there were a couple hundred people down there, 50 or 60 shelters down there. I think that's a real problem. So and another area that I think that would be very beneficial for our homeless is if we had some shelters out in the country. I believe the land of Hawaii can heal. And if we give homeless an opportunity to work, you know, not just be pushed out of a shelter after 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning to be idle, but to give them an opportunity in a country setting to receive food, shelter, and clothing, but also to work the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's healing and could develop some self-respect as well.
And let me digress here. Going back to the point at Kaka'ako, sometimes perception is what is the rule of the day, but here are some of the background, and it's so interesting you mentioned that because I'd actually prepared a show for that and it's still ongoing. The reason, it is true, we have no bathrooms at Kaka'ako. Even those that were open, we've had a sewage spill, and the line is blocked, but you see it's under the control of HCDA. HCDA and Howard Hughes Corporation have a relationship, and they lease it out to Howard Hughes and or Ward Villages, and in turn, those bathrooms are closed now because the pipe is compromised, that the sewage pipe went to the... So then you would think HCDA, they claim that they would have, they were going to put porta-potties there. Well, they did. They put one porta-potty at the back of Kiwalo Basin, and that is it, and it has a lock on it. So the reason I want to seize that opportunity is to suggest that sometimes we blame so much on the homeless and their presence, but no one speaks out about the failure of bureaucracy or administrations to really own up to it and identify their contributions to this problem.
Yeah, their accountability.
Right. You understand? So that's why you don't find any bathrooms, and no one's raising, and they're still inviting people, and the kids are going. So I've often stood there wondering, where are they going to the restroom?
Yeah.
We know thousands are relieving themselves, and so when you see the fecal coliform or fecal matter, the high counts on the beaches in the sand, presents a problem. You're up for a phone call, and I want to get your views on the Board of Water Supply. You know, they do a lot of estimating of bills of residential and commercial building, and also trash, how we're going to handle that and recycle. But would you like to take a question for a minute?
Sure.
All right. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Once again, you're very, very faint. Thank you so much for this. I was a former colleague of Mr. Hoakley, and my vote might have changed just because of your program and listening to Mr. Hoakley. I know him from the past. A real politic circumstance situation involving the rail, when he talks about the people who have the power, Mufi, City Council, Feds, InfraConsult, Parsons, Brinkerhoff, the panel that picked Steel Wheel on Steel Rail, met Friday, Wednesday, Monday holiday, Wednesday and Friday, they made the final decision. In terms of EIS, you had the federal judges here recuse themselves because of conflict of interest. It was given to the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco, and that's how we got Steel, that's how they passed the federal lawsuits. So I am so pleased to hear that Mr. Hoakley is running. Again, I know him, and I have listened to his philosophy, his policies now, and I'm very, very interested in everything that he has to say and do. Can he give me a phone number or an address? My computer is down, and I haven't had it fixed yet.
Well, Ron, do you know who this is talking?
No, I don't.
Come on, Maestro. You want to introduce yourself? Richard?
My name is Richard DeConti. I taught at St. Louis from
Richard.
19... Yeah, I taught there from 69 to 2000. I was there when he was a administrator, when he was a vice principal, when he was a teacher, and have spoken to him different occasions since then.
Sure. I know Richard very well. English teacher, everybody loves, you know.
Well, he teaches us all every Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
You definitely, but your phone number, we can get, you can text it to him, and I can give it to him, or if you have a public number.
No, I have it. I have it published a lot. It's
808-469-1233.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, and if I can do anything to help you, I will call. I have hundreds of documents on the verge of maybe giving them to Mr. Dijou, but having heard your program today, your philosophy, your reasons, everything against Machiavelli and Hobbes and all the rest of this. And I'm sorry I had to get that in, but... Mr. Cox could verify my calls, acceptable or unacceptable, but I have tried to be an active citizen on behalf of all of us. And to hear you speak today, faith, hope, and charity, and naturally hope that everybody has a faith, but you give us also hope. And thank you very much, Mr. Hoakley. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
All righty.
We out here appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you. Okay.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, well, you, there's some people listen to the show, believe it or not. But, Ron, on the trash, you know, there's many issues, recycling, and I must tell you from my experience, we are getting killed at the recycling bin with all of the processes that are thrown in, and we're paying for things that really could be tailored down in the cost and all, and a different process. But do you have any ideas or any have you given much thought to this yet? I know there's so many things there.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't know very much about the problems with trash. I understood that that was one of the positives of the current administration is the trash collections, and the mayor was just recognized by Waste Management as doing a great job on the trash.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like having your brother give you a certificate of the biggest brother, the best brother. The reality is that anything that we have, you realize, is contract, whether it's H-Power.
Yeah.
And many, one of the contractors at H-Power, for example, is one of the major donors, and its employees are major donors.
Yes.
So, of course, they're going to, but and I can say there's some problems with the program, whether it's bottle bill or what have you, and so I would like to hear your thoughts on that later as time goes on.
I haven't looked at that. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that need attention. I think, I don't know this, but hard decisions need to be made. But if you're a career politician and you want to move on to get reelected or move on to another job, like if you're mayor, you want to be governor, or you want to be state senator or something, or not state senator, but U.S. Senator, then you kick the issues down the road, hoping somebody else will solve them.
Right.
But we've got, financially, we have a budget of $2.3 billion in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Of that, we pay 20%, or approximately $500 million on our existing debt. We have a very high debt.
Mm-hmm.
So 20% goes to pay that down every year. Another, when rail is finished to Alamoana, the estimate was we'll pay another 20% in subsidy on rail, bus, and handy van. So right away we're paying about $1 billion a year that we have to pay just on that. We don't have a plan then to pay for the sewage, except increasing our sewage taxes. We don't have a plan to pay for the $3.4 billion we owe to the city and county employees.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen?
So now you're really letting us see why one would be motivated to kick the can down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, because the decisions are just too hard for career politicians to make without jeopardizing their job.
Mm-hmm. Now,
at least that's my interpretation.
Right, now, take the Board of Water Supply, and real quick, I'll try. And if you give us some, maybe you have a solution for this. Board of Water Supply gives water to each home or each facility, and it builds. And many occasions they estimate the actual bills, so we don't know if they're the actual cost. It's accurate in the amount used or consumed. But also, on the flip side of that, the city and county of Honolulu take those same numbers and then consider that number as the amount of the volume of water per gallons that you send down your sewer, and that's based on the charge as well. I believe that somewhere in there are some inadequacies or inaccuracies that needs to be addressed, because many of the people are senior citizens and people that
right,
are on fixed
exactly.
income. And do you have any thought or any idea or how you would fix that, or where would you begin?
It's interesting that you bring this up, because I sit on the EVA neighborhood board, and board members as well as people in the community that attend the meetings complain about this regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that this is the problem, that they could go 3 or 4 months with the same estimated cost. I don't know how to solve that. The costs go up. Because our sewage treatment system is out of date, so we're just going to pass on the cost to the homeowners. And to the renters, because it's part of the rent that they're paying too. I don't have a solution for it. I don't understand how the price for my water and sewage has doubled in the last 2.5 years. I don't have an answer to that.
Mm-hmm. But this would be something that you wouldn't
it
be above.
Needs attention. Okay. Absolutely needs attention. But I think you have to be. We have a representative from the water department at each of our EVA board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And last month, about a week and a half ago, he emailed a copy of the water treatment plan water use plans, but I haven't digested it enough
right.
to have an opinion on it.
I wouldn't expect you to, because there's so many bad behaviors accompanying this that even if you had a handle on it, it may be the wrong handle, because it's not been that, and I wouldn't hold that against you and anybody else that's running, but it's something that we're in dire need of addressment of this. But one of the solutions are what's available to you as a mayor would be you have say in who is the executive director of the Board of Water
right.
Supply. And even
right.
though it's semi-autonomous, you still have great influence, and so... how would you handle their budget? Because there's been a lot of meddling, and there's some interest in selling parts of their equipment, their property and what have you. Where do you stand on that? And now
to put somebody in who does not have any connections to special interests and who can get, I think, what you're intimating. And I'd like to talk about that, too. What you're intimating is that maybe we don't have a good handle on how we're spending the money and how, it's being allocated. The money is being allocated in the water department.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that might be true in many different departments.
It is.
And I'll tell you that when rail went up so much in price, both the mayor and the head of rail, CEO of Rail, Dabrowski, says that they don't have accurate numbers. The audit, I read through the whole audit of the HART, and they complain that they have antiquated numbers that can't be relied on. And then a Civil Beat did another article on Rail, on the numbers in Rail, and a woman named Natalie Iwasa, who's a CPA, she's just a private citizen, said, their numbers don't add up. Even on the charts, they're off. I have a feeling that we really don't have a great understanding of our budget numbers.
Mm-hmm.
My personal view is why that should be very accessible to the public, to those who are interested in it, like a person like Mrs. Iwasa, or other journalists. She called on Civil Beat, said journalists have got to get involved. There are guardians, if you want, that take a look at things and budget numbers and how we're spending our money. If we're not transparent about it, it can be misused and misspent.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
but so to answer the exact question on the water department, an independent person with a good handle on understanding how we're spending our money, you know, I would try to appoint somebody and to give an accurate, transparent report on that.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point of saying, okay, we estimate for cost reductions every 2 months, or some whatever the truth is, just get that out there so people know what's really happening, not hidden.
Right. Well, I want to thank you, Ron Oakley, for coming in, calling in, and sharing with us your thoughts. And please don't hesitate to call us back. Anything in closing, real quick? We got about 1 minute.
Well, just thank you for the opportunity to speak. How did you find out about me?
Well, I found out about you. I was looking through my mail, and I got my ballot yesterday, and I saw the name, and I thought, wow, the media told us there was only three guys that were running.
Three guys.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, wait, hold it now. This isn't, let me see what I can do. And I mean, it may be viewed as a feeble attempt on our part to reach out, but you know what? I've learned all you need is one seed, and you can.
That's right.
And one seed generates other seeds, and that. And so there are some good people there. There's Tim Gary
there
and many others out there. And we've been told that only this guy's good for you, and let's keep him.
Okay. Thank you for reaching out. I can't thank you enough. I came into the campaign knowing that it would be tough because I don't have a lot of money, no name recognition. But I still think it was the right thing to do, and I'm just going to keep going forward and just trusting in, well, for me, it's trusting in God that it'll be just exactly as it's supposed to be.
And give you a website again,
sure.
And anybody want to contact you, go ahead.
Yes, it's www.hokely, spelled HOCHULI FOR Honolulu.com.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Oakley, and I appreciate it. And feel free to call back in on the show anytime. We're going to make
Carol,
sure that in the next month we're going to lend it to, so we'll be informed. And thank
All
you
right.
again. Aloha.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks for the last-minute response. I mean, it was last minute. All righty. Thank you.
All right.
All righty.
Bye now.
Well, folks, thank you for listening and tuning in. And I generally don't like to get the political thing, but the problem is I heard so many times that only these people are running. These are qualified. And they serve us who they want us to vote for. And the climate is right. It's up to you to make your choices. And we say, well, how do we fix this? We fix it by listening to all parties involved and don't buy into, well, these are the three leaders. Wait, this guy was making popcorn last week and now he's a leader? And what have he done for homelessness and all of that? And then one has already been the mayor and then decided to go do something else and left us with the problem. And the other one's too aggressive. So let's think outside the box now. When someone tell us these are the three main leaders, let's back up and can we do without those appointed or anointed leaders, so-called leaders? So let's look at that field of people that are running for office for mayor. And Kurt Baker, Zachary Byrd, Kurt Caldwell, Carvalho, Ernest, Carlisle, Peter B., DeJew, Friedman, Tim Gary, Hokuli, and Lillian Hong and Powers. If you have any interest in coming on the Carol Cox Show, please give me a call at 782-6627 and we'll accommodate you. Thank you. We'll see you next week and hope it will be helpful to your decisions. Take care.
She does not know her beauty. She thinks her brown glory, she thinks her brown body has no glory. If she could dance naked under palm trees and see her image in the river, she would know. Yes, she would know. But there are no palm trees in the street. No palm trees in the street. And dishwater gives back no images. She
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.